Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. We continue our study on sowing and reaping. We've got this Sunday and we have one more Sunday in this sermon series of sowing and reaping. And next month, November, is what month? Thanksgiving month. So the focus, of course, next month is going to be Thanksgiving. And looking forward to that. And then what comes? Christmas, yeehaw, right? I look back, and I always love the holiday season, but I look back and I think, where has this year gone? My goodness, it has passed quickly. But I thank the Lord for the year that He's given. Matthew chapter 13, as I said, we continue our series this morning on sowing and reaping. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now let's skip over to verse 18, and we're going to see Jesus' explanation of this parable. Verse 18, Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we approach your throne of grace, thanking you for the privilege of gathering together today. Thanking you, Lord, for your word. Now I pray, Lord, that you will give us ears to hear, eyes to see. That you will teach us, Lord. Give us understanding that we may grow in you. And most of all, Lord, I pray for those in this service today who have never made a profession of faith and committed their life to you. I pray that you'll convict them of sin and draw them to you, Lord. Lord, this is your service. Move freely among us. Change hearts. Renew lives. Restore the fallen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In this parable, of course, we see Jesus, and he's sitting by the wayside, or he's sitting by the sea. And understand, at this point in Jesus' ministry, news has spread of who Jesus was. I mean, they know him as a great teacher, a great healer. And so they've come out in multitudes, it says there in verse 2, great multitudes. How many is that? I don't know. A bunch. Right? They came out to see Jesus. And you imagine the attitude of these people, if you will, were such that when they're coming out to see Jesus, they're not just, we got to go to church today. No. These people are thinking, I'm going to hear the wisest man that has ever spoken. I've heard how he heals, how he teaches. He speaks as one as having authority and not like the scribes and the Pharisees. So they've traveled from all over to come and see Jesus. Jesus, he's on the shore to begin with. And as the crowd, the multitudes crowd in, they get closer and closer. And Jesus gets in a boat. The boat pushes out from the shore. So now Jesus is backed off. And imagine, if you will, Jesus is a little ways out in the water. And he has a crowd of people that's just surrounding him on the shoreline. All they want to do is hear him speak. And so Jesus says, behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. As he sowed, some fell on stony ground. And of course they sprung up, and as they sprung up, the sun came out, and the heat was tough, and it scorched them because they had no roots. Now if you're on the shore, you're looking at Jesus saying, yes, Jesus, come on, come on. Yes, okay, keep going, keep going. Jesus continues. He says, some fell among the thorns there in verse 7. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. They're still on the shore thing. Okay, it's got to get better than this. I traveled all this way for something. This is as good as it gets. Then finally Jesus said, but some seed landed on good ground. And it brought forth a harvest, a crop. And that crop was some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And then Jesus just kind of stops there. Once again, imagine if you're in that crowd and you're thinking, I traveled across the wilderness for this. This is the wisdom that I've been looking for. There's got to be more than this. And Jesus gives them nothing more. So the disciples, in their wisdom, they call to Jesus. They say, Jesus, come here, let me talk to you. And we didn't read this, but in verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus, you've been speaking now for 50 minutes or an hour or 30 minutes. You've been speaking. Jesus, let me just be honest with you. They hadn't gotten a word you're saying. You know what Jesus said? Jesus says, I know. I'm not talking to them. Doesn't that seem strange? Jesus said in verse 11, he answered and he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Jesus is saying, I'm not talking to you, or I'm not talking to them, boys. I'm talking to you. The sowers. I found that absolutely intriguing, because I've heard this preached from the point of view of the different soils, you know. But you know, I'm an old farm boy, right? And something that I figured out being raised on the farm, the soil is what it is. I can't do anything about it. We farmed in Des Arc, or around Des Arc. We farmed what we called gumbo mud. You know what gumbo mud is? It's not farm ground. It's that old mud that as you walk, your shoes get bigger. Until finally you come out of the field and you look like Bozo's shoes, you know? But you know what? We're never able to do anything about the soil, about that gumbo mud. It was gumbo mud every time we farmed it, you know. Oh, it'd dry up and clod up, you know. But we were never to change that. As I looked and I thought about this, you know, I thought, you know what? Jesus isn't talking to the crowd. And that goes against everything of you see in the world today because, you know, it's all about attracting the crowd today. But Jesus is saying, boys, I'm giving you a lesson, not them. And so as we look today, I want you to understand the lesson here today. If you are saved, the lesson's for you. Okay? First lesson is you got to sow. If you expect a harvest, you have to sow. But along the way, as you're expecting this harvest, here's what you can really expect. You're sowing, and some of that seed is going to fall on the wayside. Now, of course, you know the wayside. You've heard this before, but I'm going to give it to you today. The wayside was basically the pathway of that day. That was the side, the modern day equivalent to a sidewalk without the concrete, right? It was the trail that they had walked so many times that the ground had become packed. And so if seed were to land on that hard ground, it would simply just sit there because it could not sprout and penetrate that hard earth. And it would sit there till finally the birds would come along and consume it. So Jesus is telling His disciples here, listen guys, if you're going to sow and you're supposed to sow, you need to sow, here's what you can expect. You can expect some of the seed to fall by the wayside. And the point Jesus is making is the point of the hardness of some people's hearts. Have you ever tried to deal with a hard heart? You're wasting your time, aren't you? I mean, you can tell them about Jesus all you want to tell them about Jesus, but it's just like it's not getting in. You know, and Jesus describes them in verse 15 of the same chapter, for the hearts of the people have grown dull. That word dull means hard. It's the common day equivalent of, I've forgotten the technical name of it, but you've heard of an enlarged heart, where the heart gets, the walls of the heart become thick, and that heart can't function as it should and pump the blood. And, you know, you have, as a child of God, do you realize you have the greatest news in the world? You have the absolute most needful news of the world in that you have Jesus Christ. And if there's one thing that people need today, they need to hear the news that there is forgiveness. That you can have your sins forgiven and you can be washed and you can have peace that passes understanding. And it just gets better from there. I'm going to heaven because there's a place prepared for me, eternal in the heavens that'll never pass away. I'm going to heaven. How about you? Isn't that great news? You know, there are a lot of people in this world that the only hope they have is in this life. I'm like Paul, if this is as good as it gets, I'm of all men most miserable, right? But in dealing with these people, they've become so hard-hearted that they reject you. You realize as a child of God, here's the idea. If you're going to sow, and I know that you're sowing, if you're going to sow the seed of Jesus Christ, you will be rejected. Expect it. Plan for it. Get ready for it. Why? Because they have a hard heart. And you cannot do anything about the soul. Only Jesus can change the soul. Now, does that mean you don't sow seed around those hard hearts? Absolutely, you sow seed around that hard heart because Jesus can melt that heart. But just don't be surprised. Don't become discouraged when they look at you and they say, I don't want anything to do with your Jesus. Don't be surprised when they make fun of you, when they look down on you, when they call you a Bible thumper. I've heard all that before. I've even had my character called into question through the years, you know. I mean, we all know all preachers are worried about money, right? You see, they'll lash out. And that's the world we're living in right now. We have the answer, and the world looks at us like we're the dumbest, most uneducated people believing some far-fetched lie. Listen, I have faith that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, that Jesus spoke and created this entire universe. I'm good with that, right? I think it's a pretty good explanation of how we got here. But there are people who are holding on to, there was a Big Bang that created everything. Really? Really? Just don't be surprised when the world looks at you and says, I don't want what you have. What do? You just keep sowing. And I've had people, you know, well, they rejected me. They called me names. No, that's not your problem. They rejected Jesus too. You just keep sowing when you get on that hard ground. Second thing Jesus gave us. You can expect some seed to fall by the wayside. Ooh. The stony places. I'm sorry, not the wayside. That was just a while ago, right? The stony places is the ground that on top it's good ground. But just underneath the surface there's a layer of rock. Right? Now, if you've ever farmed, you know that you've got to have more than just a little bit of soil to produce crop. Because once the seed sprouts up, it begins to sink its root deep down in the soil so that when hot weather comes, it can draw moisture. Now, here it says, Jesus said that immediately it comes up. With joy, they receive it. But then the sun comes out, they wither, just dry up and blow away. These are the people that you can talk to about Jesus and they'll look at you and say, sounds good. Let me tell you about how you can have forgiveness, how you can have joy, how you can have this peace that passes understanding. They say, yes, give it to me. Come on, bring it on. And you can tell them about the forgiveness that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross of Calvary. You can tell them about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit where Jesus lives on the inside of the believer. And you can tell them that they can have it. They'll give their lives to Jesus. And they say, okay, sounds great to me. And so they pray that prayer. Ask Jesus to save them. The next thing you know, they're gone. Have you ever seen that? I've had baptized people before and never seen them come back to church after they were baptized. Why? Because they had no root. It's just the basic reality of it. And that's why today you hear people say, well, you just have to accept Jesus. Kind of on dangerous ground there. Okay? Because it's more than an acknowledgement. And churches have gotten into this easy believism. You know, that if you just make Jesus the Lord of your, you know, just call upon Jesus and it's, they get the concept, well, okay, I'm going to pray this nice little prayer. And because I pray this nice little prayer, it's going to give me a get out of hell free card. You know what I'm talking about? And they pray this nice little repeat after me prayer and jump up, whoo, I'm going to heaven now. Then it's over. But then tough times come. Whatever the challenges, and you look up, and they're gone. The reason is because there's no root. And I want to tell you this. Are you ready? I want you to get this. Salvation is not an easy believism whereby you miss hell. That's not what salvation is about. It's not. Well, Brother Doug, Nobody wants to go to hell. Absolutely, you're right. Who wants to go to hell? No one. But salvation is much deeper than missing hell. Salvation is the surrender of your life to Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus. Does it make sense? You see, there are a lot of shallow believers out there who have acknowledged Jesus. But when they learn, oh, you mean I'm supposed to go to church every time the doors are open? Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, I like, Sunday's the only day that I have. The Bible still says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, right? Amen? Something's wrong with the depth. They have a depth problem there. When you mean I can't get drunk with my friends anymore? No. Right? We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine. Right? You see, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a what? He is a new creation. You mean I can't live with my girlfriend if I don't marry her? That's exactly what I mean. Okay? You see, there's a shallowness there. Do you think, I've acknowledged Jesus, so everything else is okay? He didn't call you to acknowledge Him. He called you to become a follower of Him. And if you follow Him, that means you put into practice His teachings. Right? I recall a young lady here at Victory, and it's been several years ago. We witnessed to her. She asked Jesus to save her, baptized her. And she lasted about 3 Sundays after that. And I'm not laughing because it's not funny. It breaks my heart. But I noticed she was missing. Missed 2 or 3 Sundays. And I saw her out in Russellville. And I said, you know, we've been missing you. She said, well, Brother Doug, you know, y'all are just too serious about Jesus. I said, really? Yeah, y'all just too serious about Jesus. You know, I've been going to this other church over here because they're not nearly as serious as y'all are. I said, okay. Somewhere along the way, you missed something. You see, just acknowledging the existence of Jesus is not salvation. The devils believe and tremble. I fear that there are a lot of people in church this morning throughout the United States of America that have acknowledged Jesus but never given Jesus their life. But, and I tell you, as a pastor, when you see this happen, you think, come on. You know, it's like there's a revolving door. They come in the front, they go out the back. It's a depth problem. So what do you do about it? You ready? Just keep sowing. Right? You're going to have these disappointments. Keep on sowing. Then finally, Jesus says, well, not finally, but Jesus says, some seed fell among the thorns. They hear the word. And the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word out of their life. These are the ones that you bring to Jesus and you get them in church and they're excited and they're plugged in and they're attending Bible study classes and they're really doing well. And the first thing you know, they're offered this new position at work with a big, nice new raise. All you got to do is work on Sundays and Wednesdays and Sunday nights and every other night. Now listen, I do know that we got to make a living, right? Amen. I'm not being judgmental here, but I am telling you that if you got to work on Sunday morning, you can come to church on Sunday night. That's worth an amen. I don't care who you are. If you got to work on Sunday morning and Sunday night, then you come to church on Wednesday night. But church, the gathering of believers, should be a vital part, or it is a vital part of every New Testament believer. You need to spend time around other believers. Ah, but they get this opportunity for this big new promotion and it means more money. And you know, more money's always good, right? Or they get in a bind and they can't pay their bills. Or they get their kids involved in every kind of ball and cheer and everything so that there is no time for anything else. I'm going to give you this. If God is not the priority, this world will choke the spiritual life right out of you. So what's the challenge? When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you make God one. Jesus is number one. He's the priority. You know, you know how we got to where we have in the world today? Because we don't stand up anymore. Right? A lot of things that have gone on in the government, well, yeah, that's just the way it is the day we're living. No, it's just, we just didn't stand. You may get an opportunity to stand before long, I fear. But back to the point. You know, used to, they would never have thought about having ball games, playing ball games on Sundays. Because your parents and your moms and daddies would have said, we won't be there, we're going to church. But today's moms and dads, they don't say that anymore. They say, we'll be there because we can miss church. Ultimately, what happens is the thorns spring up, whatever your excuse, and they choke the very life out of your spiritual life. Okay? And as a child of God, as a pastor, I've seen it over and over. And I'll be honest with you, that's the one that hurts me. It just breaks my heart to see those people who you know, they were doing so good. And then this distraction hits and you can see the handwriting on the wall. And sure enough, first thing you know, you ask them where you go to church. Well, you know, we don't go anywhere. We used to go to Victory, but we don't go anymore because, and just fill in the blank. You're in the thorns. When you're sowing and that happens to you, how do you respond? Even though it hurts and even though it, yes, it bothers you, how do you respond? You just keep sowing. That's it. Just keep sowing. I mean, at this point, it sounds to me like sowing is a losing business. Three times you've sown, or three areas you have sown, and you got nothing. Oh, but some of the seed, where did it land? It landed on good ground. And what happened? It produced a harvest, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Just keep sowing. There's a famous philosopher in a nationally known, renowned movie called Finding... What? Nemo, you know what I'm talking about. There's this fish on there. And her name is Dory. And they came to a point when Nemo's dad and was real sad. And Dory looked at him and said, you know what I do when things get bad? I just keep swimming. That's it. Somebody, I don't know who that was. That was it. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. And she sings that for about 10 minutes in the movie, you know. See, you've got to know that this was written to you as a believer today. Because so often, you get to that point, you say, what's the use? Why am I going to witness to that person anymore? Because their heart's so hard that they're never going to receive it. Just keep sowing. You're going to say, why do I go through the trouble? I bring them in and yeah, they last a week or two, but then they're out as fast as they are. Just keep sowing. Why do I even bother? I bring them in and the cares of the world manages to snatch them away. Just keep sowing. Why? Because some will land on good ground. I want you to look around today. Look at the people around you. You know why the people around you are here? Because somebody just kept sowing. I look here and there are people among us today who were raised in this church. And there are some ladies in this church that taught the junior high class and, you know, and the children's classes, and they just kept sowing even though y'all were mean rascals back then. But they grew up and they're still here. Why? Because they landed on good ground. Look around at some of you. There's some who went through the college ministry. You know, they came in for college and they never left. Why? Because people kept sowing. Some of it landed on good ground. I look among you today and I see some people, you came out of a pretty rough past. We all, you know, you have a past. Most people do. But I look at you today and I see a God that washed your sins away. And I see a dedicated and faithful people that are here because somebody just kept sowing. How important is sowing and reaping? Listen, you've got to have some consistency. You've got to be a little thick-skinned on occasion. You've got to be able to say when everybody else says, I quit, you say, I'm not going to quit. I don't know if Jesus gave this to give you percentages, but you realize there was only a 25% success rate here, right? 1 out of 4. I don't think it's so much percentages as it is that you just need to be prepared, because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to keep sowing. But I will tell you this, it's always worth it. Right? Keep sowing. Grandparents, keep sowing to those grandchildren. Parents, keep sowing Jesus before your children. Teachers, keep teaching Jesus to those junior high kids, the nursery, adult classes. You've got to keep sowing, because that's why we're here. And it's encouraging to me to be able to look around and realize, hey, some of it did land on good ground. And there has been a harvest. You may be here today. And I'm going to close with this. And you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now I want you to understand this. I'm not an easy believism guy. As I said before, I believe salvation is a life commitment. You don't work for your salvation. Jesus bought and paid for it upon the cross of Calvary. Right? It's not about works, lest any man should boast. But if you commit your life to Jesus Christ, it starts with repentance. Right? Repentance means a change of direction and a change of heart. That means you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't want to be that old sinful creature you once was. You want to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you want that today, I'm glad you're here. Because the Bible does say that if we'll just call on the name of the Lord, will be saved. Right? That carries the idea of committing your life to Jesus. That carries the idea of forsaking and turning from your sin. Now, it's not to say anybody's perfect. How many have a sin problem in this congregation today? Would you raise your hand? Man, I've got to raise both hands. I've got a sin problem. Right? But I want to tell you this. I don't like my sin problem. I don't want my sin problem. You may be here and you realize today that you were one of those grounds that didn't make the cut. Oh, you professed Jesus, you know, you acknowledged His existence, but it wasn't a life change. Listen, if you've professed Jesus and you can live like the devil without conviction, what you've got's not real. Why? Because if you're a child of God, the Spirit of God dwells inside you. And the Spirit of God can't share space with ungodliness. He will convict you of sin until you respond. Now today, where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Is it real? Is it real? Is it more than a simple acknowledgement? Listen, Jesus Christ gave His life so that you could have eternal life. But He will not force it on you. You have to choose Jesus. The choice is yours. If you need to be saved, I want to invite you to come this morning as we have this invitation time.